The readings for the Sundays of Advent assume we remember the opening events of the grand narrative of salvation history. Adam and Eve deciding free will was more important than relationship with God. God creating a covenant with Abraham to restore the relationship. Enslaved Israel suffering in Egypt. Moses leading the flight to the promised land. God giving the law and renewing the covenant, and God promising the Messiah. In Advent, we pick up the narrative with the prophet Isaiah speaking to the children of Israel enslaved in Babylon. God rescued them, and they returned to Jerusalem where things were fine for two or three centuries. And then they were conquered by the Greeks, then the Syrians, and then the Romans. Then Jesus appeared, and we know what happened to him. And now we are gathered here around this table, as though it were 2,000 years ago. Mother Church has created the liturgical seasons to help us participate in this long narrative. So, how do we participate? In most Advents, we are often frantic about work. Frantic about the holidays, frantic about political news, frantic because songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells keep us focused on the extroverted rambunctiousness of buying presents, eating, and drinking. But there's an additional theme in our seasonal culture that we must not miss. Do you remember the engravings of Currier and Ives, of cottages, horse-drawn sleighs, and snow on the evergreens? The 19th century European Christmas portrayed in the ballet, The Nutcracker? And songs like White Christmas, I'll Be Home for Christmas, and Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire? They all have a strong nostalgic quality. A Norman Rockwell kind of looking back, which is really a wishing for, a much quieter, slower, more comforting way of living. The reality, of course, is that those images, hopeful and soothing as they are, remain no more than wishful thinking in the face of the human inability to bring them about. Worse, they remain wishful thinking in the face of the willingness of the privileged few to create their own idealized playland of comfort and affluence at the expense of the poverty-stricken many. As we increasingly acknowledge our own longing for a better world, our longing prepares us for the miracle of divine intervention in the person of the Messiah. As we long to discover, and then actually do discover, the divine in the face of our need, we enter into the spirit of Advent. Ideally, our Sunday readings help us enter into this discovery. Unfortunately, for me at least, today's readings obscure more than they reveal. So here's another point of entry. Last week, we Jesuits heard confessions from the younger students in the lower school. One little girl came up to me and made her confession. I closed my eyes and recited from memory the prayer of absolution, which goes as follows. God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled all things to himself and sent the Holy Spirit into the world for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you of your sin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I opened my eyes, she was looking at me wide-eyed. She said to me, "How did you memorize all of that?" Some of you may remember a book published many years ago by Art Linkletter called kids say the darndest things. Well, this is what he meant. To this little girl, my ability to memorize so many words was a revelation, a wonder, something she had never dreamed of. Growing up is all about discovering the bigger world through such revelatory experiences. Growing up in faith is all about discovering the bigger, truer world God wants us to see and inhabit. Last week, 35 retreatants from our parish, other Catholic parishes and Protestant churches met as individuals with a spiritual companion to talk about what had emerged in their prayer each day for 5 days. I was one of the companions. For reasons of confidentiality, I cannot tell you what I heard this week. But here is an example from my own life of what can happen as we pray. For many years as an adult, I felt burdened by the shortcomings of my family of origin. I longed for and prayed for a family where love replaced judgment, where love was easily shared. Then one day in a conversation with my spiritual companion, I realized in a burst of new awareness that my family would never be the kind of family I wanted, and that I would have to accept that reality. The moment was one of both profound sadness and, in equal measure, profound liberation. I felt freed to grieve a great loss, and yet I felt free to leave the loss behind and to move forward in my life, to give and to receive love as I might find it. God the Father had stepped in to help me know what is true and to offer me his love and affirmation. This divine revelation produced in me the same astonishment the little girl had experienced. My world became bigger, and my experience of well-being became richer. Notice that these realizations benefit from psychological vocabulary. They come in the context of prayer, using this vocabulary because God is the ultimate psychotherapist. The New Testament Greek word for healing is therapeuein, which gives us the noun therapy. Incidentally, another New Testament Greek word meaning to heal is baptizein, from which we get the verb to baptize. So these experiences make concrete for us the dynamic of Advent. The Messiah comes to save us through revelations to us about ourselves that free us and heal us for ourselves and for our greater service to his people. He frees us from false ideas or values about who we should or should not be, what we should or should not be doing with our lives, from faulty judgments about people and situations, from psychological histories that have made us lame, from psychological histories that have made us lame or dumb in present circumstances in which we need to be fleet of foot and articulate of speech. In their place, God wants us to see, know, and experience what is true, namely that he, the Messiah, stands ready to save us from what limits us and to release our fullest selves. In today's first reading, Jesus quotes Isaiah, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill made low, the crooked straight, and the rough places plain." What I just read wasn't the translation we heard earlier. What I read was the King James Version that George Frideric Handel used in his oratorio, Messiah, as the tenor solo that opens the oratorio. God is hurrying to our aid, to help us in time of need, Isaiah says. The tenor solo asks us to hear that offer of liberation more deeply through the beauty of music. Then the chorus sings, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." God's glory is revealed when we discover the truth about ourselves. Like the little girl and me in the stories I just told you. St. Irenaeus, an early theologian of the church, described the glory of God as a human being fully alive in Christ. A little later in the oratorio, the bass sings a solo to the text, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." The light is the light of our truth, which really is God's truth. And the chorus sings, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light." Where do you need revelation and liberation? How will you spend this Advent? God Emmanuel is making haste to come into our lives, to save us from what limits us, and to release us for our fulfillment, our service to his kingdom, and his greater glory.